The Lord said to me a number of years ago, your day actually started this morning. Your life began this morning when you opened your eyes. Last words and first words, the way you finish the day and the way you begin the day. I said in my word, remember my commandments and the teachings of your father and your mother. When you sleep, they will watch over you. You can lay down and sleep and dwell in safety. For you alone, O Lord, cause us to sleep in safety. It is vain to rise up early and sit up late and feed on the bread of sorrows, for he gives his beloved sleep. So sleep is a gift. Those are the scriptures that I do every night. And then, good night, my love. I love the Lord my God. And you say this, I agape the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. And I love my neighbor as myself, fulfilling all the law and the prophets. Oh, but John 13:34, the Master said, I give you a new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. And all men will know you're my disciples by the way that you love one another. And in the first, when I wake up in the morning, this is my receiving day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. First thing, not, oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to make it today? By faith. Amen. Well, that just comes from a lot of years of doing this. Now, hang on. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 20, please. I had my Bible rebound, and I have so many ribbons now. Glory to God. John 20. Verse 11. But Mary stood at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. And she seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say to her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had supped, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not it was Jesus. And he said, woman, why weepest thou? And who do you seek? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said, Mary. Now that's the way he got her attention the first time and cast seven devils out of her. Now people think her last name was Magdalene. No, that identified her. She was from Magdal. We'll have to get to heaven to find out what her last name is. Now, I notice this. Touch me not. I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father, your Father, to my God and your God. That's what the book of Hebrews is about. Now, I want to straighten something out. You know, the scripture says he went into Arabia, the Apostle Paul. He was caught up and saw all these things from the heavenly sphere. So now, let's go to the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Thank you, Jesus. And look at verse 12. That won't work. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of the Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself. This is what he had to do. He had to appear before the Father and say, it's done. And I'll show you in a moment why. Thank you, Jesus. Purge your conscience from dead works. Serve the living God. Verse 17, if a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise of no strength at all while he's alive. Now here's something that over the years that I've talked to people about this, didn't even know it was in here. And even fewer than that know that he went to hell. They wanted a sign. He said the only sign that you will receive, as Jonah, was 3 days and three nights. The King James uses the word whale. It doesn't say it was a whale. In the belly of the big fish. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. It doesn't work from Friday. But John said, this is a high Sabbath. It started on Wednesday. It doesn't change anything, but you might as well get it right. So just sit down and do it. Just right. I just sat down and did it, and there it is. But he said it. It had to be that way. So that would be a good thing on Easter Sunday. And rabbits don't lay eggs. Did you figure that out? It's only used one time, and it's in the King James Bible. It's Resurrection Sunday. That's a good thing to bring up, particularly in church. And show. Now, why is that so big? Dave, your Savior and mine spent 3 days and three nights in hell paying for your and my redemption. And the moment that he entered into the heavenlies and sat down, we were healed. And the scripture said he chose us before the foundation of the world. But it had to be received. It has to be received. And so, and that's what we're doing now. is to receive these things in the accuracy in which they're delivered in His Word. So just sit down with them, you know, and just go through it. Of course it works out right. But now, and here's something else. Take a Classic Amplified, which now Kenneth Copeland Ministries is publisher of that. Take the Classic Amplified and go to the 22nd Psalm. It starts off, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And ends with, it is finished. Well, what all was finished? That's not the point. That psalm that David wrote for this purpose was on his lips and in his heart when he went into hell. And Pilate was astonished that he was dead so quickly. He said, you can't kill me. My life is mine to take up or lay down. And he laid it down for you, and he laid it down for me. He went to hell and suffered 3 days and 3 nights. And then he led captivity captive. What does that mean? He led captivity captive. What? They were not in hell. I mean, they were not in heaven. They were in paradise. Read about Lazarus and the rich young ruler. There was a protected place. I'm going to show you why here. There was a protected area right at the top layer of hell itself. They could look down in there, but they were protected. It was called paradise. It was not called heaven at all. Now, it is right here in the 23rd verse of the 9th chapter of Hebrews. Let's go back and read. Well, let's read down into it. For when Moses had spoken every precept and all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats and water and scarlet wool and so forth and sprinkled them and so forth the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled blood, and there was one phony preacher said, I'll tell you, this is a bloody bunch. And to use the word blood, you bloody well better know it. Well, make up your own mind what that is. You know, I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just pointing it out. Of course it's forgivable, particularly when it's... That's like somebody saying, are you going? No, I'm afraid not. Well, what are you afraid of? Jesus said, let your word be yes and no. Now notice this. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices. Adam's sin went all the way to heaven, and everything but the throne of God Himself. Jesus' blood had to be placed on the heavenly mercy seat. And that blood had to cleanse all the heavenly worshiping things, the things in heaven that were to be worshiped with. They're now pure. That sin has been wiped out. But that's the reason he said, I haven't gone and done this yet. So all of this had to take place. Isn't this amazing? Yes. So, let's read on. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, where there are figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world, he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, look at Hebrews 10, 1 and 2. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comer thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because thus the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more sin consciousness. No more sin consciousness. Well, what is the opposite of a sin consciousness? I'm so glad you asked that. And we will turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we have not only found naked. Now, verse 6. Always being confident that while at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So, and I skip over here. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us because we are thus judged, that if one died for all, then all are dead. Come on down. 21. For he hath made him to be sin. He who knew no sin, that's the way the classic Amplified. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. That is not holiness. But it says you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. So instead of having a sin consciousness, then you have a righteousness. I'm in right standing with God. I have a right standing with God consciousness. Now, holiness is from the fruit of the Spirit. And you walk in the fruit of the Spirit, and then you're walking in that holy life. So, no more sin consciousness, but a righteousness consciousness. Now, I'd never heard of a new creature. I didn't know it was in the Bible. And so the Lord gave me tangible evidence. And Gloria said, I don't want to go out in public with you. Why? But you know, your mouth is bad. Well, I came back. I flew a man by the name of Weir, and he was with the Arkansas-Louisiana Natural Gas Company to Shreveport and back. And I got back in, and Gloria and I had a new apartment, and I won't go into all that. story about what I fouled up, so we had to have a new apartment. But anyway, well, that's not really right. I came back in, and now she's raised in the Church of Christ. I was raised Southern Baptist. So, you know, we just didn't talk about it much. And I can see it in my mind's eye. She was over there, you know, at the store. She was waiting up for me. I went in, changed clothes, and took my suit off and walked in the kitchen there and had one shoe on, one shoe off, and the Lord arrested me. Kenneth, if you don't get right with me, you're going to the devil's hell, son. Well, I knew that. I said, I know it. But what do I do now? I heard my Sunday school teacher in the University Baptist Church in Abilene, Texas. Now, University Baptist was tied to Baylor. That's the reason it's University Baptist. She said, boys, you have to ask Jesus to come into your heart. I did, and he did. I couldn't close my mouth for about 30 or 40 seconds, and profanity was gone from that day until this. And then I thought, how am I going to tell Gloria this? So I said, Gloria, come here, baby. And I said, what would you think if I were to talk for God or give him a testimony? She said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah what? She said, you know the Bible that your mother sent you that you never did read? I said, yes. Ken Precious. And she gave the scripture reference, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things would be added to you. And she said, Lord, I sure do need some things. Take my life and do something with it. She had never heard the term born again. She heard that after both of us got baptized in the Holy Ghost speaking the other tongue. Well, he did. He took her life. And he's still doing something with it. Praise God. So, now then, back over to the book of Hebrews. Oh, there's so many things here. Hebrews 9, 12, 14, and 23, we read those. Now, 10, 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect or blameless. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshipers once purged should have no more sin consciousness. Now, come on down. Then he, lo, I come to do your will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting all his enemies he had made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Oh, Lord God. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart full of assurance, of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the profession or the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now let us consider one another to provoke unto love and of good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more. Verse 29, how much more sore a punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy that had trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath accounted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite of the Spirit of grace. That's the spirit under, that's the sin under death. Now, why is it the sin unto death? God would forget that. Forgive that. I don't have time to take it to it, but it's in there. You can find it yourself. It's impossible to bring them to repentance. They have experienced it all. It's right there in the between the 5th and 6th chapter. They've been born again. And tasted of the powers to come, operated in the gifts of the Spirit, and then turned their back on him. It says it's impossible to bring them unto repentance. That's the problem. They've sold out to the devil. And how do I know that? Because Brother Hagin knew of a case that happened. And the Lord showed it to him. She was a beautiful woman. And the devil started talking to her. Beautiful singing voice. And look what you're missing. You're singing in this little old church. You could have been a star. Oh, think about what you could have had. And she got to dwelling on that. And she let it get into her mind. And then Brother Hagin said the Lord showed it to him. It got in her mind. He said, so far, so good. But then it went down, and then it got into her heart. And then she began to believe it. And then she tried to do it. And then she'd answer the door barely dressed. And you can imagine what she turned into. She didn't stay all that beautiful anymore. That's the sin unto death. Couldn't get her to repent. Well, that doesn't take place very often. There are people, now they tell me, that people in institutions think they've committed the unpardonable sin. That's not even mentioned in the Bible, the unpardonable sin. That's just a demon phrase. No, I've committed the unpardonable sin. No, there is a sin unto death. But that proves you hadn't done it. You don't even know what it is. Amen. So, and now it's so important that we and the TV audience realize that the book of Hebrews is the answer to what Jesus said. Don't touch me. I have not yet ascended. This was his ascension. It's what the whole book is about. Well, there are other things involved. But that's the reason the Apostle Paul wrote this. Well, how did he get out of that? In Arabia. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Philippians 4. I want to go to the 19th verse. my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How did he know that? Arabia. Caught up in the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I could not tell. It was revealed to me that on the night he was crucified, it was revealed to me that on the night when he was crucified, he said, I had no man teach me the gospel of the Messiah. It was revealed to me. He will meet all our needs according to his riches in glory. We just read about the riches in glory. Amen. Hallelujah and amen goes in here somewhere. My, come on. Had to buy you an ice cream cone or something. Okay. Well, Acts chapter 2. For David speaks concerning him. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad, moreover also my flesh rest in hope. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will your Holy One to see corruption. You've made me known the ways of life. He's referring to the 22nd Psalm. And sometime read the Apostles' Creed. It's all in there. Now, it says, we believe in the Catholic Church. It doesn't say Roman Catholic. The word Catholic simply means universal. Roman Catholic is a denomination. But it's all in there. He went to hell. He sent the Holy Spirit. See, those folks can read. And they believe it. I was in Hereford, Texas, a little North Texas town up there that's named after Hereford cattle, which came from Hereford, England. And there was only one rancher up there that had anything to do with it, and so they named the town after him. I was having a meeting there. And I'm telling you, a big man. I had two meetings in my lifetime in abandoned drug stores because, you know, I have a place to have a service. Now, the first one was in Wichita Falls, Texas, and we had the morning services in a synagogue. And the rabbi, Aline Arnold was a real estate woman there, and she was a friend of the rabbis. And so no place to have, we had an abandoned drugstore building. And so she went to see him. And so I met him, of course. He said, now, Brother Copeland, this is my study. And he said, here are all of my study books. Just make yourself at home. And I was reading, and I was reading. It does not say, let there be. That's not in there. It's all right. It said, light be. light wall at 186,000 miles a second. Our God said light, Elohim, plural, all three of them. Light be, light walls. 24 hours, 16 billion miles of universe. And it said he rested on the seventh day. And I was always saying he didn't rest because he was tired. He was finished. And one day I said, Lord, were you tired, Kenneth? He said, yes, that's the reason I rested. There was a lot of force behind that. He spoke it by faith. And it just took, it pulled it out of him. And he just slung this universe into its existence. And the devil's one messed it up. Now, whether you know it or not, there have been two floods. Well, he did it in 7 days. No, he didn't. Between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, there's eons of time. Jesus said, I saw the devil fall out of heaven like lightning. Look it up in the book of Isaiah. He was here. And he messed this thing up. I will be like the Most High God. He left his place. And instead of being Lucifer, now he is Satan. Lucifer, son of the morning. Now, I didn't get this from the Lord, but just from reading, I'm convinced that he was Jesus' personal angel. And I'll tell you something else. It says his beauty, he was beautiful. And his pride fell. And he had musical instruments built within him. Everything but the trumpet, that's God's. Phil Driscoll let me know that for sure. Jimmy Swaggart just celebrated his 90th birthday. Amen. And I was invited, and there was a reason why I couldn't go, but I made a video, and we got to laughing about Jimmy Swaggart actually introduced Kenneth Copeland Ministries to the United States. And I had anyway, I didn't want to go on the radio. I thought I was busy. And I said, okay, God, I'll go on the radio if you give me a burning bush. I got a call from Delaine one morning. She said, Jimmy Swaggart's on the line. I said, the Jimmy Swaggart? And I just went, why ain't you on the radio? And the Lord said, there's your burning bush. Now, what else you want? Michael Ellison was his media buyer, and Michael and Susan Ellison. And now listen what he did for this ministry. Because all of this goes back to all of these things here. This is what we need to be doing for one another. He said, now, Kenneth, I'm gonna have Michael pick out my best stations. No use fooling around with those dead ones. He's going to pick out my best ones. That's when I met Michael Ellison. He and then later Susan. And I said, Michael, do you think you can buy stations where when someone starts off on the East Coast and they can, you know, these things are only 15 minutes long. Can go in West Coast. So he said, yeah, we can do that, I believe. And they did. So I called the post office I said, my spiritual father doesn't have a post office box. It's just Oral Roberts and such. Can I do that? I'm going on gospel radio. Mr. Copeland, let me check. He came back and said, you do need a zip code. Nobody had to remember a box number. Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. See, 700 stations. At that time, we were the largest religious broadcaster in the country. $375,000 was our budget the year before. The next year, in 1975, it was $400,000 a month. That is one of the easiest things we ever did. Jimmy Swagger. I love him. And I was laughing with him over that, over the phone call. I mean, we laughed and carried on. We went on a vacation one time that we wanted both to forget every minute of it. Anyway, helping one another succeed, right. Not fail. Right. That's right. I said, I'm going to come down and just go to church some Sunday morning. He said, you are not. You're going to come down and sing. That's what you're going to do. Praise God. Well, we are saved, healed by faith. Philippians 4:19, Acts 2:25, Ephesians 1:1-4, we were chosen before the foundation of the world. Now, all of that Mark chapter 11, verse 12. In the morning when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And you know the story of that. Seeing a fig tree having it. Now, the Amplified Classic explains that. When there are leaves on a fig tree, there should be fruit there also. And Jesus walked up there expecting to receive it. Well, don't you know he knew when the fig... Don't ask me that I think he knows. Just read the book. Of course he knew. Well, then what in the world was happening? I've seen artist rendering of the first couple. I was led into a place that this man said, I want you to look what beautiful artwork this is. Look how gorgeous. And I looked at it, and both of them had belly buttons. Some of you didn't even get it. God created him out of dirt. She was out of his rib. What did they cover themselves with? She see her standing there with an apple in her hand. There's no mention of an apple being in the Garden of Eden. There's only one fruit mentioned. The fig. They clothed themselves with fig leaves. The fruit in the garden, the forbidden fruit, was a fig tree. And that tree got paid back. Of course, he knew what he was doing. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we come to a close with this. Of course. Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, the Classic Amplified said it's a guaranteed, it is the title deed. It's the title deed. You own it before you see it. It is the title deed of things hoped for. By it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made out of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet he speaks. By faith, Enoch, when he was translated, should not see death and was found. God translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, notice this. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, in Isaac shall your seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure. He'd already been promised. He fully planned to kill him. Why would he do such a thing as that? All you have to do is read the 17th chapter of Genesis and you can see it. My covenant is between me and thee. You're going to be no longer called Abram, but you will be called Abraham, the father of many nations. The H, Hashem, the name. The first recorded covenant name change in history. When Greg Stephen and I wrote the book, God, the Covenant, and the Contradiction, Gloria was Gloria Jean Neese. A few minutes later, she was Gloria Jean Copeland. We entered into a covenant together. Bound by covenant. Amen. I asked her to marry me on a first date. I thought, she is so beautiful. You know, her dad came up to me and my daughter's best looking girl in the state of Arkansas. And I saw her and I said, Sunday, October the 8th, 1961, at 10 o'clock in the morning, Little Rock, Arkansas, atop the National Old Line Insurance Building in the penthouse. My dad was with that company. Arkansas was playing TCU for the Southwest Conference Championship. She walked in there and I thought, whew, man, she wasn't kidding. Look at this gorgeous woman. We walked out on the balcony and I said, Gloria, would you like to come out and look at the city of Little Rock? She patted me on the back and I fell in love with her. I mean it. All the bitterness just did that and just left me. I knew right then I'd spend the rest of my life with her. Amen. We were in love with one another and still are. And we entered into a covenant. I went over to Blevins, Arkansas. I said, Mr. Niece, I have come to ask your daughter's hand in marriage. And he said, well, yeah, I introduced you to her. My dear said, Kenneth, I'm just going to ask you one thing. Take care of my little girl. And I've been doing my best to do that. I'm pointing out how powerful covenant is. April the 13th, it will be 63 years. And that night, she said, okay, and she got in the house. She said, I don't even know this guy. Oh, well, I'll get out of it later. She's not out of it yet, not about me. This blood covenant book needs to be understood for that reason. The preciousness of his blood. The sinless blood had to purify heaven. Heaven was polluted because Adam broke the covenant that he had with God. He was right there with her. She turned and he ate. I've often wondered what would happen. He said, no! Get out of my garden! He had authority to do that.